You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.
Never quit radio. All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit Podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
The Team Never Quit Podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. If your car breaks down, can you pay the repair bill today? Navy Federal Credit Union can help you build an emergency fund for the unexpected. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/save. Federally insured by NCUA. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit Podcast. I'm Andrew, joined as always by Marcus and Morgan Luttrell.
What's up,
welcome
brother?
Back, guys.
Hello.
I'll do it.
Today we got your mom on the show. That's not a joke. It really, really is your mom.
That's how you know it's going to be exciting here.
It's going to be
against our better judgments.
Exactly. A legend, one of the most fierce women I've ever met. Sweetest ladies. She's amazing. Holly Luttrell, a.k.a. Mom Luttrell. She'll be on the show today to give us an update on her health, tell us what it was like to raise 2 Navy SEALs, and much more. Can't wait to get to that interview. But before we do, we got a Patreon question of the day. Daniel asks, if you were to cast the perfect action movie, who do you want to appear on the screen together?
Oh, I think about this all the time. It's a Western though, not an action movie.
All right.
And it's about Texas Rangers. And I'm talking about having Clint Eastwood, Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
That the cast off of Tombstone, some of those guys, some of those cowboys in there.
But I also think you should also take Daniel Craig, the James Bond, and Bruce Willis, but keep it in the Western, right? But implement each one of them in their character in the West,
and just have a knockdown drag out.
I mean, you can throw the Avengers in there if you want to get crazy enough.
have these young aspiring Rangers that are having the Texas, you know, the Indian Wars, and they're fighting their way up through. From south to north, and they're in the Comanche country, and they're hunting down this old ranger that has been there, done that, and they kick in a saloon door, and there's Clint Eastwood sitting there bullshitting with Tommy Lee Jones or somebody like that. You know,
but you could start it out. You could go back into with when they're younger, like as if they're palling around together when they're younger and what they had to go through with each other, like tie those stories in.
And then it's Robert Duvall, Tommy Lee Jones.
At the end of it, it's looking through those
eyes.
I can't
believe nobody's done that because there's so many great, like Empire of the Summer Moon, just casted around that book.
Oh, man. Could you put any genre in that time period, right?
That would be my... I literally drive down the road thinking about how awesome it would be to do a great Western over the Rangers.
Well, if you're listening, Hollywood, or Netflix, I guess, please come through for us. Daniel, thanks for asking your question.
Yeah, Melly and I watch the old Westerns on TV all the time. That's like when we're laying down.
There's all these new ones that are coming out that are pretty cool anyways. So be like, why not bring some of the old guys, introduce a little bit of the new dudes?
Yeah, just be awesome. Have Eastwood in there just for a final.
Sam Elliott. Everybody with the great stash, right?
Yeah. So you can have them. Yeah, you're right. The younger characters could be the modern day guys that are in the acting space.
Or their kids.
And then they could be their kids. You could fast forward it towards one as they
and
move
and
progress. And you have Selleck and Eastwood and Red and Duvall and Jones and Elliot, just all of them at the end of the movie, just sitting on the porch, kicking back, having a beer, going, and we had a good time.
Yeah, it's like that younger crew that's running around together. They go riding out to the cabin out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a campfire with the elders sitting around it, and then there's those guys,
legends, the classics,
Kevin Costner,
man,
OGs,
badasses, man, they're all great. And you could jump a generation, like you could call like the with the nicknames, like the Duke. So the elder could call his kid that, but you don't know why it got that name kind of deal. But it's through the what's that? Hey, don't call him a cowboy. You've seen him ride. Tommy Lee Jones can ride too. So all of them boys can. They all ride. I ran into Costner the other day at an event. He's dressed up in his denim shirt and his denim jeans. Because Melly's had me glued to Yellowstone.
If you want exclusive access to the show, bonus behind-the-scenes content, ask us your questions on the episodes every week, then you make sure you check us out on Patreon. You get exclusive access to the show, bonus content, some really cool swag, and you get access that's only exclusive to our Patreon guests, our Patreon members. So head over to patreon.com/teamneverquit. Let's get to today's guest. All right, guys, so we have someone super special on the show today. Holly Luttrell, Mama Luttrell, as you guys know her. Welcome to the show, Mom.
Hey, thank you, Andrew.
Welcome on the show, Mom.
Thank you, baby.
Love you, Mother.
I love you, son. Love you, Bunch Morgan.
Love you too, Mama. This is one of the relaxed situations. My mother is dressed to the nines.
Oh, boy.
Looking fine. Looking good.
That's one thing I've always respected about my mother. She's comfy.
Thanks.
Would you give our listeners a little bit of background maybe on your childhood, kind of growing up?
My childhood?
Yeah, your childhood. Yes, ma'am.
I was raised over in Baytown, Texas. I graduated from Robert E. Lee High School. I got married at 18 to a boy I dated since I was 12 years old.
They didn't know that.
Horses were a big part of my life. I got my first one when I was 5 years old, and I've loved them always. And I've tried to make a living with horses my whole life. It's a hard thing to do.
I didn't know you married your 12-year-old boyfriend.
Yeah, I've been married twice.
I may not have said that right.
Well, I started going with him when I was 12 years old. We got married when I was 18.
How old was he when you were 12?
21. Oh.
He was 21
when
you were
12? No, he was 15. He was 15. I was 12. He was 15. When I was 18, he was 21. We got married. Yeah. And it didn't last. So I don't even know why I told y'all about that one. We were married 2 months. He was drafted. He left for Killeen. And then from there on... to Vietnam, and the Christmas Eve, his first few months over there, he was blown out of the back of a Jeep. He had shrapnel a quarter of an inch from his spine, and I got to go to Hawaii to visit him. They didn't bring him home to heal him, but it was a very traumatic thing to go through, to be so young, to be so in love and for him to go to war, it was a very traumatic thing for me. I cried for months. Just couldn't wrap my hands around the fact that he was gone and gone over there. I didn't have any concept of Vietnam and what all that was about and what was going on and what he was facing. And poor guy. He served his country well. Served his country well. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
He's just a glutton for punishment then, because then you married Dad.
Yeah. Then, oh, I was a glutton for punishment.
And then you had us.
Yeah. You know, didn't
Couldn't get away from it.
Military.
No.
Was raised military. My dad.
Yeah, because Papa was in the
Papa
Army.
Papa was military. We've had. He was mm-hmm. World War II. He was in Saipan, Iwo Jima, and I believe Guam. I have to think about Saipan, Iwo Jima.
What about yeah, Uncle? Was over in what about there. Uncle Filin?
Yes,
Filin,
we have an uncle named Filin.
He was yeah. not in the military. Really? Filin was the baby of the family, and he did not have to go. Now,
how many
on
were
my
there?
Mother's side, Uncle William was a pilot in World War II.
Yeah.
And his wife had a young, beautiful wife and a baby son. His wife died while he was overseas fighting war. She developed, I don't know what she died of. I'm sorry, I don't think I was even born then, but she passed away. I never knew her, but it was a very traumatic thing for my Uncle William, for the whole family, for him to go through. But also, Uncle Jess, Uncle William's brother Jess, was in the military. So, and then if you start going backwards, Melanie went back really far. We've had a lot of military in our family. The women raised the children. The men were fighting war.
So you either marry one or raise one, right?
You married one or you raised one, but you knew how to raise warriors. Knew how to raise good men, good Americans, good people. They were salt of the earth, those people, all those people.
Can you tell the listeners why you always think, which I value this because I raised my sons this way, and Marcus raises his kids this way, but can you tell the listeners why it's so important for yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am?
Well, it goes
along. In your opinion?
Mm-hmm, it goes along with discipline. It's very important to teach children to have respect. In my way of thinking, you've got till they start to school to put your stamp on your child, to make sure that they understand what you want of them, how you want them to be. And then the world kind of starts taking over, and the world puts its stamp on them. So you've got to really put who they are into them before they go to school.
Create a good foundation.
And create a good foundation. Yes, sir, no, sir. You give me a yes, ma'am. And you boys both know I'd warm the seat of your pants if you misbehaved and did what I told you not to. Because we lived on working horse ranches. If I could stop you on a dime, you could have died. You could have crawled up under one, gotten into somewhere you shouldn't have been with something you shouldn't have been in there with. And you know how adventurous you were. I mean, let's remember the Bramer Bull that lived next door.
He's awesome.
Billy Boy.
Billy Boy.
I mean, I found out that they were getting on an enormous Bramer Bull that lived in the pasture next door to us. And Morgan, I believe it was you, came in and said, Mark's riding Bully Boy. And I went out there, and there he was sitting up on it, and Morgan scrambled right up that fence and got up on behind him. You were both up there on that bull before I could breathe.
Sucker was huge. I remember that.
Oh, he was huge.
Yeah, he was.
He was over 2,000 pounds.
I went in Malden Cow, got out.
He must have been bottle fed or something.
Big. That was Mr. Banks.
Man, when he came running down the street that time after all the cows had gotten out, and I think after we had caught the field on fire, that's a whole different story altogether. That was a good one. Well, do you remember when they caught us? We
had taken 50 this, acres this of PVC my neighbor's pipe. Pasture.
So we had these two ponds, and the road kind of went between the driveway started up, and it went through the ponds into the barn. And then Morgan and I would run through there to go feed the horses. Well, we had it in our head that, man, we were going to be, I don't know, we started scuba diving at a young age. I mean, like without scuba tanks, like on the ground with underwear on our head and socks in our mouth and on the end of our feet, kind of kicking around. We got this old, what kind of chair is that? Lawn chair.
Swing, right? Yeah, aluminum swing.
And rolled and jettisoned a rope across one of those ponds and hooked up these. Our idea was that we were going to launch down to the bottom of that pond and be able to breathe through this water hose PVC pipe. We had no idea what Boyle's law was and physics, pressure related, and how that.
We were going to live underwater.
Yeah. Well, you were about 6 years old.
And it was hell bent on it.
I mean, we had this
six or 7 years old.
We man put brown paper bag sacks on the swing with us. That thing,
yeah, we had all figured out.
Didn't think that was going to get wet.
They built an airplane and pushed it off the roof of the barn.
It didn't fly, though.
They would tie towels around their necks, knowing that they could fly, and climb on top. They were able to get on top of our house at the age of two. They started automobiles. They would get around and up and get to keys. And it didn't matter where you put them. They could get to them.
Marcus came in the house, like what you asked him. You asked Marcus what you've been doing. He's like driving some. Who was it?
Gregory's car, and that was you.
Oh
no, I was the truck.
He was Daddy's truck. He backed Daddy's truck.
How old was that when
down
I came in there?
Two houses into the people's house. It hit their house. It knocked bricks off the front of their
house. Door like it was knocking. I'll never forget when that thing started moving. I was like, hey man, I couldn't see over there. I remember seeing the column where that thing went into gear. And then,
God, awesome. We had fun. We had a lot of fun, but it sure got scary sometimes.
I mean,
because they were so brave that these two never had fear. They came up in the era of no fear. There were shirts they wore, no fear. So they just grew up not being afraid to do anything, to try anything. And I certainly did not encourage it. I made a point, do not pass your fear on to your children. That was very big with me.
Rambo,
very important.
Yeah, man. Do you understand? Like, our G.I. Joe figures were all yoked up. I mean, it was Stallone and then
Chuck Norris, Stallone,
all those
Schwarzenegger.
Movies, well, that's kind of the guys who taught us our everything about us.
Oh, yes. I let them watch everything like that. all of those, what kind of movies do you call those? Action movies.
Yeah, so, man, our family, we have to tell you what family
dad. There was absolutely no restriction on the TV ratings of the movies.
Well, porn.
I didn't allow you to watch porn. That's kind of a loose statement.
Well, I didn't allow him to watch porn.
No, yeah.
No, not porn. Yeah. That's not what I meant.
No, but they could watch everything else, and I encouraged it.
Well, it also let us, it's kind of like what we had to watch was kind of the people around us, too, and what they were capable of. Yeah, that one sounded awesome. But that's hilarious. We had these huge gatherings, and we'd have to watch either, it would either be Lonesome Dove and Cowboy Movie, and when the men would go out and do the hunt and all that, at night, they would huddle around and binge watch some kind of movie and laugh and joke and kind of hoot and holler about that all day long. It was fun. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday.
We had a ball. Growing up was a ball. They had a blast. We had a blast.
We still have a blast. I mean,
we loved hack and slash, but I let them watch everything because of it. It's another thing with this no fear thing. I would explain to them that it's up there in that box on the wall. It is not in this room with us.
Right now.
It's not real.
Right. That was the point was that she would, if we were sitting there watching it on the wall, and like you, because if you could see it there, if you run into the same scenario out in the open, you'll know if it's going to be a dangerous one. Like if there's some creepy stuff and chainsaws and dudes.
Yeah,
no,
to teach them what to watch for.
Don't go up in there. Everybody who does in the movies gets killed. There's probably something to it. You know what I mean? It's like it was an aid. It was a tool because we had to watch all the stuff on horses because we'd have to go out and feed the horses. And I mean, it was just like it was another tool on top of everything else we had. You can abuse it.
Yeah, I don't know if I think we might have got into Freddy Krueger a little early.
We played game. We played memory games. We were the best at trivia even when you were tiny, when you were little. We're still some of the best at trivia. I mean, we can still come up with answers that amaze people that we know this kind of stuff. I don't know why we know this, but it's just time we spent together.
Freddy Krueger taught me not to go down in a basement.
What was it like growing up raising twin boys? Because I remember when sometimes we were walking through town, we'd piss you off, and somebody would offer, and he's like, hey, these good-looking boys here, and he's like, well, you got to take both of them.
It's a matched pair.
Match set.
It's a matched pair. You can't have just one. People try to take one of them because they were so pretty.
There's two of them. They work in pairs.
Yeah, no, this is a group. This is a pair here. It was extremely difficult in the first years. There was so much to do.
You didn't know there was two of us first.
Didn't know there were two until the day you were born. And overheard the doctor say, I think there's two. And I grabbed him by the front of his shirt and pulled him down to my face. Two what? I think there's two babies in there. Let's go down to X-ray and make sure. And sure enough, there's two babies in there. I mean, what a shock, huh?
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Ta-da.
Sent some rams in, yeah.
Mark was bonus baby, my little bonus baby.
And we're still not totally convinced we didn't get, like, switched up or mixed up.
No, you were firstborn. Morgan, firstborn.
Yeah, then the Mark's old man the came baby. Creeping in. He wasn't around when we hit the deck.
Yeah, he was. I tell you what, I called him after the doctor took the X-rays, and we saw that I'm in labor. And that there's two babies. I called David from the hospital and said, David, I'm in labor. And he said, oh, my God, I'll be right there. I said, wait a minute. There's two. And he said, two what? Two what? And I said, two babies. Oh, my God. It took his breath away. Oh, my God. Well, now, don't you worry about a thing. I'm on my way. I'll be right there. He got completely... From out there, Antoine Silber. We lived off Antoine and Silber. He got over into the medical.
St. Louis?
Uh-huh. He got over there like 15, 20 minutes. He flew over there.
That's the same thing happened with me. Melanie called me from the hospital because Haley was in there. I'd come back home to feed the cows. And then they're like, she went to, you know, and working in L&D and doing all that, I should have known that, you know, that would take a little bit. I got... From water all the way to the hospital in about 17 minutes.
He did that too.
Yeah, we were pig hunting at the Lazy J when Leslie went into labor with Gunner.
Got there like 45 minutes.
Normandy to Tomballing right under an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's flying.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
That every now and again, you got to feed a little speed to your ride.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because they had babies coming. They were getting these girls to the hospital.
She told me, she's like,
we Mojo had his first one. He called me up. He's like, hey, man, I need you to mail me some sand or some dirt. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have, if Gunner's going to be able to be born in Texas.
Yeah, because I was stationed in Virginia Beach.
I was like, don't come back.
Said, I was you like, that boy better be born.
I mean, he calls me up coming across the state line. Yeah. We made it.
Yeah, we thought she went into labor. She's having false labor pains. Turns out we thought she's in labor in Virginia Beach, and I put her in a truck and drove her to Texas.
Hold on.
I just remember telling you, Morgan, it's very, very important. Your baby has to be born in Texas.
Yeah, they were.
You have to come home and have your baby here.
It's a source of contention in the marriage ranks right now.
We got past it.
What was it like having both boys deployed at the same time?
Oh, boy, that was the toughest thing. That was one of the hardest things I've ever been through. Hard, extremely, extremely worrisome. Difficult, made me cry sometimes. I don't like to cry, and I don't do it much.
Unless she's happy.
Yeah, I will cry for happy. But, it's just a lot of things can go through your mind, and I would get up before dawn. I have a habit of getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and going to the barn. I like to work with the horses. I always have. And it takes my mind off my worries just to throw myself into work. I just work until I drop. And I would work all day until time to go to sleep at night, come in after dark, you know.
It is a good way to break up. There's those nights you can't sleep for whatever reason, doesn't shut down. You know, your animals are always up doing something.
Yeah.
And I mean, you get a relationship with them just like you do with your dog.
I had a job for years and years selling seaweed for people, horses, and dogs. And I would be at the racetracks at 5 in the morning. The trainers start training your racehorses at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if I wanted to catch them, their day was over at 9 a.m. So I had to be at the track. So I was up and moving all those years that I worked for Source Incorporated. And when I wasn't working for them, when I was raising our horses, I was up going out there and tending to
them. That's the funny part is, you know, a lot of the products people, well, they test them on stuff before they give them to humans. Well, the good thing about Mojo, we've been test cases our whole life.
Yeah.
So we've been running on that seaweed, like thoroughbreds. Uh-huh. To, I mean, take this. We'll see what happens. Let's go to find out.
The tests, or a lot of the, not all, but a lot of tests were run on our herd of horses on those seaweeds in the 60s. She started out, and then we started, gosh, you boys, y'all were not 3 years old when we moved and started the horse ranch, started big horse ranching. Y'all, when we moved out to Eagle Mountain Lake, when we started collecting horses out there, yeah.
I remember that old pasture out there.
We had $150,000 worth of horses and rusty barbed wire and an old fallen down shed was all we had. We had the horses. We just didn't have any facilities. Didn't have much nothing nice as far as facilities was going. It was always my dream to have a big, pretty barn to put them in, keep them cleaner. But we raised some dynamite horses. We went to the races. We went to the world, and we had a good time. It was wonderful. I thought it was a good thing to take these boys out of the city to the country. They were small, and they were between 2 and 3 years old. I moved us out of the city out to a lake, found us a rental house on a lake. And that lady also had 11 acres and a barn. And I began to collect horses. And people would see how I cared for horses, and they'd say, Miss Holly, if you'll take care and raise this baby for me, I'll give you this baby. Miss Holly, would you trade me these two horses for that one that you own? And by that doing that, I ended up with lots of horses. We had lots and lots of horses.
So it seems like the horses were a big part of the process for you of healing while the boys were away. What kind of wisdom would you have for other parents right now who have kids that are either actively deployed or deploying right now?
Stay busy. Stay busy. Your mind is what'll mess you up. It's what'll kill you. You got to keep your mind busy. Stay strong in your mind, in your heart, and your soul. Believe that they're going to be okay. Put them into God's hands and trust Him to care for them. It wasn't my responsibility to see that they were safe. There wasn't a damn thing from here I could do to save them. If anything, if they were to get into a problem, there wasn't nothing much that I could do other than call H. Ross Perot or somebody like that to help me, which I am prone to do, call somebody if I need help.
It makes sense. I mean, if you got a child's kind of a wild Mustang, and you go out and you get him a Mustang to work with, and they'll both calm down together. I mean, they teach each other discipline. Each
style. It was amazing what these boys could do with horses.
I mean, it's kind of stylish to a human. So you run along that same line. It teaches something. And what you said about
just make a connection.
Millie and I came out of the vet the other day. I was reading something in there. It said, you know, protect them from danger. Protect them for life. And I read it for a little bit, and I sat and I thought about it for a little longer, and I was like, man, that's right. With your kids, you protect them from danger, you protect them for life, your family. Mm-hmm. But if you protect them from danger, you're going to have to protect them their whole life.
Right.
So, I mean, it's...
It's the same old adage.
There's a time when that switches. There has to be the switch, the transition to where... It's like leaving the nest, man. You know, your wings kind of... And there's always that one... My favorite... I'm talking about that cartoon the other day, when they were just, you know... Get your ass out of it.
Time to go.
Yeah, it just happens. You know what I mean? You just, you grow up and the first step's always terrifying. It always is. It's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. That's the thrill of it. And And it's not that the that terrifying fear ever goes away. It turns into anxiousness, and then into confidence, and then into just,
man, you're grown
pattern. Yeah, yeah. It's ingrained in you. So, I mean, everything we always had to work with.
You know, there's an old saying. You teach a man to fish, he'll feed himself and his family. You give a man fish, you have to feed him his whole life. You teach him to fish. I taught you what you needed to know to be men. That's what I was trying to do, always, was to teach you what you needed to know to stand on your own 2 feet and to be able to face anything that came down the pike. That was my purpose. Self-esteem, self-respect, in abundance.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You got to kind of hand it. So moms probably have they got a one-way phone call to the good Lord, right? So when your kids come down, and however powerful they are in the beginning, when they get into the discipline part, I mean, because Mojo and I've been through some rough stuff. I'm sorry for, I mean, if that was payback for everything we got out of line.
Just white hair.
I apologize for that, but it was, we're not afraid of anything.
Mm-mm. I have a prayer I've said since you were born. Dear God in heaven, please surround my sons with your love and protect them from harm. Oh, Lord, I pray. Amen. And I say it a lot still. Even now, I'm still praying that prayer. Surround my sons with your love and protect them from harm. Oh, Lord, I pray. Works. Prayer works, folks. I'm going to tell you, prayer works. Need to get in touch with God. He's got all the answers.
What were some of y'all's favorite memories growing up about your mom?
She was always the prettiest thing walking around.
Man, I remember that.
And I remember one time I paid $100 to this little girl in first grade.
Oh, second grade.
For a Garfield ruler.
How'd you have $100?
Worked my ass off.
He worked his ass off.
They were on payroll in first grade.
Cleaning out stalls.
They had their own money. Morgan had a wad of money that he carried
working
on him.
At damn and ranch.
He also bet on the horse races every weekend. Morgan and the bookies would say, see that little kid? Don't bet with him. He knows all the horses. He knows who's going to win. Anyway, and he did. He knew who was going to win.
I gave that little girl in class $100. And my teacher, man, she cut loose on me.
In front of everybody.
Yeah.
And Mark. Pinned him up against the wall, too, about
Miss, it. Miss Whitney, I think, was her name. Anyway, they took me to the office and called Mama. She's like, I'll be right there. And she showed up in this fur coat, about down to her ankles. She had these mean-looking sunglasses like we wear.
Yeah, dude, I'll never forget.
She walked in there, and she said,
Queen Bee just came walking in the door,
I don't remember exactly what went down. She was just like, what seems to be the problem? And the second they accused me of stealing that money, she's like, step outside.
Yeah, she never tuned anybody up in front of it.
By the end of it, they came out and apologized to me in front of everybody.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that ruler, though. I got my money back.
But if we got out of line, the same would show up and tune us up in front of beat in class. Like in front of class, man. I mean, you just...
No, you don't misbehave in my
That's when the old man would step in. That's when we'd see him. Like, if we ever irritated her to a point to where she wouldn't tune us up herself, then the old man would show up. You just kind of knew.
Like, I was getting my ass beat one time at the racetrack. These older boys was whooping on me pretty good. And I was laying down in the fetal position, and I just remember kind of coming to, and my mom was picking me up, and them other boys were taking off running. I don't know what she did to them. But
the horses got out one time, And I don't know, I guess Pop, it was raining. I mean, there was a storm going on. We were
I was there by myself trying to catch them.
For whatever reason, man, she kept us in the house, dude. And Dad walks in, and she's like, "Where's your mother?" And we just kind of pointed out to the back pasture. And right when he was shutting the door, leaving, we're like, "Hey, man, she's kind of in a bad mood." Next thing you know, man, he got a broken leg, dude.
I broke his foot.
Dude, she tuned him up.
Walked out there talking shit.
Yeah, he just, you know, he thought he...
Well, he started come out there, started yelling and screaming. I'm right in the middle of trying to corral 35 runaway horses broken through the fence. They're running all over God's creation. I've got a couple of $100,000 worth of horses running around out here. And he runs up and starts screaming at me. Oh, no. No, 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 no. That's wrong. That's just wrong. That is just wrong.
Yeah.
And I put a correction on him.
What'd you do?
I broke his foot.
How?
Well, he grabbed me from behind. He come around behind me and grabbed me in a, what do you call that? Grabbed me in a hold like that from behind. And I stomped his instep. You stomp somebody's instep, it immediately breaks their foot and they're incapacitated.
Or he was at least.
I knew where to hit him when he.
I was 30. 29. I was 29 when Red Wing happened. We were. And Marcus was still out missing there. And we were all at the house. And by this time, there was quite a handful of team guys out there with me. And Mama, it was probably the third day. And there was probably close to 60, 80 people out there total, but a bunch of SEALs had come out just to be with me and with the family. And Mama was out there barking orders, telling people to do this, go fix the fence, go cut the grass.
That's the preacher on the lawnmower.
Yeah, very authoritarian, if you will. And we were standing on the front porch, and I was like, "Mama, why don't you settle down a little bit?" And she reached up and slapped me across the face.
Oh.
She's like, "I'm your mother. Don't you ever talk to me like that." I just back from Afghanistan. I was in the SEAL teams.
Golly.
I was a man.
He was my Morgan interfering in what I had going on. I had all
these
people.
She slapped me in front of all those team guys. They turned around and walked off.
I love this story about when y'all would have your little
parties,
post-deployment or pre-deployment parties, and a bunch of hoochies coming over.
Mama hates the hoochies.
Mama hates. That's a new t-shirt right there.
Oh, yeah. Mama hates the hoochies.
When it was time for them to go, she walks out.
She come out with a shotgun.
Cocks the shotgun and shoots it off.
Shotgun blast.
Y'all get out of here. I warned you.
Take these hoochies home with you.
Get these
girls off this ranch
now. You
need
to get some of our crew in here, man, because there's a buddy of ours, D-Ball. He every now and again, we all stay in the same, at our house. It's kind of like a hotel, right? When she says corralling horses, it was her horses and us, right? Because there was a mess that was running around at any given time.
Oh, I had a house full of boys.
We didn't even have to be there. I mean, we were gone.
All the time.
Yeah,
of course.
They're still here.
A lot of them are my boys that just moved over to your house.
Yeah, they're still here. I mean, we still hang out. Like, we're raising their grandkids now. But
and they call me Grandma.
Yeah.
They're kids, too. Well, you talking about the night D-Ball come in my house?
Yeah.
Well, David was off working. He was out of town. I was there by myself. And I heard a noise, and I got up in the middle of the night to investigate. Looked out the front windows, and I could see a truck parked out there. And then I heard the sliding glass doors on the back porch slide open. Well, I had a .357 Magnum in my hands. And I'm standing in the dark waiting, and D-Ball walked around the corner drunk. And the first thing he sees is me right between his eyes, just looking right at him dead between his eyes. If I hadn't recognized him, he'd have been dead meat.
Yeah,
coming in, you know. Don't let me know you're coming. Just walk in the house here, me by myself.
He made a lot of noise from then on out.
He loves telling that story.
I did. I pulled down.
Like, well, he was as sneaky as she taught us. She wouldn't have heard us coming in.
Yeah.
Dad would always tell you, like, "I know David. I know Junior." She called him Junior. "I know Junior's here." I opened the refrigerator door, and the ham package was opened up from the middle. That drunk bastard would come in our house and open up. He'd open up a chip bag from the middle too, not from top or bottom. Just decimate the kitchen and go to bed. Junior's here, I know. Oh yeah, he's in the bag.
I had two freezers and two refrigerators packed full of food for years. Yeah. Yeah,
you
years.
Don't worry about wasting food and leftovers if you've got kids running around.
It's always food to eat at our house. It was always clean clothes at
our
house.
Whole army at our disposal. I mean, that's true even now. I mean, all the way up to a bunch of Navy SEALs and Army and Marines and everybody else runs through here.
My God, I've done some laundry in my lifetime.
Amen to that.
Done some laundry in my lifetime.
Yeah, you were always allowed to have fun. I mean, we had the best childhood.
Oh,
growing up,
we laughed.
I mean, we had a blast, dude.
And, we laughed.
Even in the Christmases, the best one of the Christmases, like, we didn't have anything. She would rewrap presents
that I'd give them.
That she'd already given us.
Oh, shit that was out in the barn.
Yeah, that we weren't using anymore, but we used to like. You know, I'm saying, like, you liked it before, weren't you liking it now?
Like, she rewrapped a pair of my Jordans, my Air Jordans. She's like, I just remember how much you loved them.
I just remember how you needed to have them.
Couldn't afford to buy nothing, so I rewrapped some of the stuff. Covered in cobweb.
We wrapped the whole bedroom.
Oh, it was so sad. Sometimes it was so sad.
We still got that.
Well, we do what we have to do. Yeah. We do what we can do.
It's fun.
Did what I could do. I did what I could do.
We loved in the morning. We would, before school, we'd go down to the lake on the boat and get on the jet skis and the tubes and all of us were always together. And then we would roll to school from the lake. As long as we got our schoolwork done, as long as we were doing what we were supposed to do, they would let us do anything like that.
Do what you wanted to do.
I'll tell you something.
We didn't pull our weight, we got jerked back
on. Yeah. One thing I've taken from our upbringing, one of many things that I do religiously, Leslie and I, is we eat at the supper table, breakfast and dinner.
Yes.
We're usually gone for lunch. But
we always did that.
And always cook at home.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I prepared three big meals. And I'm talking big plate day. Big meals for my kids all the way through. I always fed them like kings.
Every breakfast, every morning, no matter what.
That was the best.
She woke us up. She come downstairs and wake us up. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, but it's amazing. She come downstairs.
Time to get up.
Say it just like that. Go and turn my shower on. And then go upstairs and cook
what you want for breakfast.
Cook breakfast.
You want? You want omelets? You want waffles? Okay. How about some pancakes?
Sausage? Like a king.
One of our
with
buddies.
Some bacon?
One of our buddies like, man, every morning we get to wake up to the smell of breakfast cooking. I was like, wow, what do you wake up to? He's like, nah, 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 nah. That's true. Once we left there, man, in the Marine, then you in the military, you wake up to people yelling at you, trying to kill you. And I mean, I was like,
it all changed when we went to college.
No wonder you come back home,
no
man.
No food, nothing. We go back home every Sunday.
Run that shower.
Yeah. We come back home every Sunday.
Hunger in hell with a buttload of laundry.
I remember that you boys went back to San Diego, and y'all were in class, or maybe it was just Mark class, or maybe it was just you. And somebody said, the instructor asked, what's the bomb? And from the back of the room came the reply, Marcus's mom is the bomb, because y'all had just left here and I had cooked a lot for y'all.
Oh, we had to drive through from one coast to the other to get through training. Everyone swung through here. I mean, it's kind of turned into a way station. You just kind of, like I said, we wouldn't have to be here. I mean, I hear stories about me and my buddies going out with team guys that some of them I don't even know. I'm like, man, have a good time, dude. Because that's what I mean, around here, something in the water. Everyone's real friendly, man. It's real chill. And even if you don't get along, you get along afterwards. I mean, you got to. We live together.
What about discipline?
Oh, yeah. I was big on that.
If it got past her, like, she'd give you the warning, and then all she had to say was, you know, something about dad.
I know, but did you spank?
Yes.
I'm a spanker.
Yeah. I spanked in the beginning when they were little.
Yeah.
Was when I would spank them. And I'd warm the seat of their britches. I used wooden spoons, even. But I would use my hand a lot. But I would warm your britches if you did something. I told you not to go in that paddock, because there could be something in there that could kill you. You know, these horses could. We had race horses, and they are full of it. Fierce. They can be extremely fierce. We had stallions and mares and raising babies, and it could be dangerous. I was just worried.
I mean, you got to think how dangerous everything else is around you when your parents aren't around. And your parents can put some danger on you that they can take off. And that's how you learn. You learn that through your parents, or the ones that are supposed to teach you that. You got to think guys like Mojo and I exist because back in the day, some dude decided not to be a dad, or somebody decided not to be parents.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
And then one of them dudes, you know, guy came up and became just a rabid wolf and started attacking people, and then boom, here we are.
So well, I believe in spanking too, especially very young. Before they can talk, they don't know.
Right.
You can't rationalize with them.
Yeah. Spank a couple of times. Honestly, I don't remember whipping y'all. I wasn't the one whipping y'all all the time, I don't think.
No, that wouldn't be
sorry as daddy.
I could just tell y'all.
Man, anybody who says that a spanking is brutality is they're just that's crap.
I think so too.
You slam your finger in the door. You know your buddies tackle you. You get hit harder in there. And if your mom swats you when you're at that age, there's no difference.
It's like this. You don't raise a welt. You don't break the skin. You don't make them bleed.
You don't beat them in anger.
You don't bruise them. You warm the seat of their britches. You make their butts red. Yeah. I spanked them.
If they were messing, like if I, we were messing with something that would hurt us, like the weapons training. Like we got weapons training at a young age. We weren't even allowed to touch those things. It's like there's nothing better than graveyard dead. I mean, you don't put your finger on the trigger. It's like, I remember it's better to shoot a star and hit a stump than shoot a stump and miss.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you're going out and you're doing something. And then we got to a certain age, and I probably remember this. I think it was the first time Mojo ever, like mom went to go smack one of us, and I think it was me probably. I'm blaming on Mojo. Like kind of blocked her hand a little bit, and that was like, oh, okay, you're big enough, not for me. Wait till you meet your dad. And let me tell you something about that Joker, man.
Oh, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, he cut an old saddle gird off of a saddle. He'd keep it over his hat rack. Like right there at the door. I mean, just a reminder, if you got out of line, that's what you had to deal with. And there was a couple of times, and the only time we ever got tuned up was for discipline, like disrespecting one of our teachers or a lady or something like that. You know, guys, kids growing up, man, you get in fight, boys getting fights, that's what we do. I mean, that's going to happen. But getting out of line with a lady or with a teacher who's trying to teach you something, then, man, if you're going to act like a wild animal, we're going to beat you like one, because that's how you get a wild animal in check. Beat their ass, and they're like, oh, this thing's better than I am.
I think one reason I didn't have to spank them a whole lot was because they watched me work with the horses.
Oh, I got the message pretty quick too, right?
And watched me.
I'm a pretty quick learner too, man.
I will whip one if I need to.
There was like if she told us not to do something, then we got tuned up for it. We wouldn't do that again. Not saying we wouldn't find a different way to get it done. You know what I mean? That's just kind of like adventure spirit. You know, the mischief part is like, hey, you said not this way. And I'm like, oh, okay. We still get tuned up for it. But that's, whatever. We turned out fine. We've done a lot of things in our life. I mean, we have. But we never disrespected a lady. I've never even raised my voice at one, ever.
Lots of love here. There's lots of love here. I've always adored these two boys since the moment they were born. I just adored them. Still do.
So, Mom, most everybody that follows the show and follows us on social media knows that you're diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that and
how we're doing today.
Well, thanks for all the well wishes. I really appreciate it. I'm healing great. Healing real good.
Cancer-free.
I'm cancer-free. I got the diagnosis in September. The boys went with Melanie and Leslie, went with me to talk to the surgeon, and we heard what they had to say, and I made the decision on what to do. It was my decision to make, and I just felt like I would have a better quality of life and live longer if I did a double mastectomy. And yeah, I'm a little mangled now. I'm not quite as pretty as I used to be. But I feel good. Ooh, I feel good. I feel good. I'm getting stronger every day. I'm back to feeding my horses, taking care of my horses again. my dogs, and I think I'm doing great. I'm healing. I'm really tickled with the way that things are turning out. I feel good. I have better balance now. It's amazing that I have to tell everybody too. I think that in a short period of time, in a matter of a year or two, a double mastectomy will be done on an outpatient basis. There is no pain involved. I have suffered no pain doing this. I have had discomfort, but there's a difference between discomfort and pain. Pain is natural childbirth, twins, natural childbirth. Yeah, that hurt. But this, no. This is a piece of cake. This has not hurt me. I woke up the day after surgery getting on the phone looking for a new roping horse, ready to get started.
A little Dilaudid involved with that.
Well, I didn't have no Dilaudid. I had a gabapentin.
Not at, but I mean, we kind of talked about it, like pain, that discomfort. So imagine, I mean, I just kept telling us, like, we're gonna, just when you go to sleep, imagine you're going into the gym, you're going to work out real
right.
hard, and it's going to work that stuff out. So after you work out, your muscles are sore, but you're right. laying there and you're happy
about it. And that's exactly
it.
What it was like.
So every time you feel that pressure or that soreness, just remember, man, that's you've worked out real hard, and you're healing up. And man, we had a great time, me and you up here.
Yeah. We started working out when they were little, when they were young. We started working out.
Mom had Arnold's book.
Yeah. I'll never
kid you not,
thing,
had Arnold Schwarzenegger's book.
And bought free weights. Then I bought an old Joe Weider machine.
She's going to make sure we were in shape because that's right. She bought that
Joe Weider.
First of all, there was a book on how to raise babies, and then there was that Schwarzenegger book, and then she put Commando in the TV, and we walk and work out.
She's like,
that's why we turned out.
She's like, your boy's going to be big. Arnold started working out at 14. You guys are 7.
Yeah.
Come on, let's do this. Come on, we can do this.
Yeah.
And so the three of us got strong. I got the biggest legs of any woman. My calves from working out. You can overdo it. But we worked out. We put us a gym together in the garage.
And we didn't know any better. I just thought it was fun at that time. You're just doing something, you know?
Yeah.
Like with your parents.
What's your greatest never quit advice, Mama? What do you want to tell our listeners out there about
something they can add to
their toolbox?
Your wisdom.
No matter what life throws at you, and my God, can it throw some shit at us? Pardon me, I can't say that kind of. They can throw some stuff at us. Life can really throw things at you. No matter what, never quit. Keep going. Keep coming back. My energy and my stamina levels were almost completely drained, and I'm having to come back from that. So like Marcus has taught me, Morgan have taught me, you go a little further each day. You go as far as you can the first day. You do what you can the first day. And the second day, you go just a little bit further. The third day, a little bit further. And you just never quit. You keep coming back. You keep coming back, and you'll get strong again. And my God, don't forget to laugh. Don't forget to laugh. Stay strong. Stay strong in your mind. Don't let your mind beat you at this life game we're playing. We're all in here trying to figure it out and do it to the best, you know, of our abilities. Live it the best way we can. And I don't think quitting is an answer. Quitting has never been an answer for me. We don't quit. We Latrells. We keep going. We never quit. So.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. Thank you. I love you.
Love you too. Thanks for being an awesome mom.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. It's time again for another listener story. Thank you guys so much for writing these in. They're awesome. Today's story is called Never Defeated, and it is written by Milo. Good morning, gentlemen. My greatest never quit moment wasn't a definitive moment. As with many of you, I found myself in a position where many people see directions, but all I saw was one, full recovery. I was in a motorcycle wreck June 25th of 2016. I left the road and wound up going through a barbed wire fence. The last thing I can remember is getting gas in the bike around 130 miles away from where the bike wreck happened. Head trauma has a detrimental effect on memory. I remember bits and pieces of my first few days in the hospital.
I had broken my skull in several places, and the internal bleeding was severe. The total wound up being 20 broken bones, a lacerated liver, kidney, and lung. I was a mess. God and the community were on my side. The doctors went in to take out my kidney and assess my liver, but found the kidney had stopped bleeding and that the liver was recovering. I spent 8 days in the ICU, followed by 7 days downstairs. My family was given two options. They could take me home, or they could send me to a rehab facility. Luckily for me, my incredible family brought me home. Fast forward to today, and I've made a recovery that most would say was impossible. Not only did I survive, but the only lasting effects are some range of motion loss in my left arm and chronic pain. I was medically retired from the Army in 2012 with a back injury, and I was told I would never run again. Since the wreck, I have run a 5K and am working up to a marathon. The never quit mindset and the people who perpetuate that by sharing their stories have played a huge part in my recovery. Thank you, gentlemen, for all you do. Sincerely, Milo.
I have walked a mile in your shoes, my friend, and I applaud your efforts.
Yeah, good job, man.
Hell, don't stop at a marathon. Get you up some of that ultra stuff. Really make you feel bad about yourself. That's an inspiring story, and I'm glad you shared that with us because people need to hear that. Get your ass knocked down. You get beat up, man. Broken up, got to land on
your
back. That
lets you know that wreck and all those injuries, when you're going through that, you think it's the end and it's nothing. But in reality, man, all that did, once you healed up, you got stronger and you just kept going and you set your own limits where you want that to be. Yeah, that's kind of how it works. You go till you kind of get crushed down and then you heal up, come back harder.
Good luck on that marathon. Keep us posted.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm expecting at least
somebody
4 hours.
The 2 minute, you said?
Huh?
Somebody
broke
the, yeah.
Kipchoge.
2 hour.
Hour and 59 minutes, which was thought to be humanly impossible. You watch that video?
Yeah. That's a great point right there, man. What's supposed to be impossible for human limitation keeps setting the bar and breaking it, so never let anybody set your bar or your rock bottom.
Oh, yeah. Hit me up when you cross the finish line. Hit me up on Instagram, Mojo Latrell. Let me know how you did.
Yeah, thanks, Milo, for sharing your story. They're always super inspiring to us, and it definitely helps us see exactly how much impact this show is having, and it's pretty awesome. So thanks again. If you would like to share your story, just head over to teamneverquit.com/podcast. There's a share your story button in the navigation menu. Click on that. You can read stories. You can share your own story. We'd love for you to do that. If you want to be the first one to know when we drop new episodes and you need to make sure you've subscribed to the show, you could press the purple subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or any other major podcast player to be notified the moment we release a new episode. We drop new episodes every single Wednesday just for you guys. Share the episode with a friend. This could inspire someone. This could change someone's life. This show specifically will be great for parents of people deployed, parents of twins, anyone out there who's just looking for an incredible...
Parents.
It's a great story. So join us every single Wednesday for new episodes. Thank you guys for tuning in. Marcus, Morgan, it was awesome to have y'all's mom on today.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mother, again.
Didn't get too out of control.
Still teaching us. Thank you guys again for coming back. Looking forward to the year. God bless y'all.
Hope you enjoy as much as we do.
Done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.